Chapter 3. The Black Spot. It was a bitter, foggy afternoon. I stood in the doorway of the inn, full of sad thoughts about my father. I spied a blind man shuffling along the road, tapping his way with a long stick.
"Could anyone help an old blind man?"
he called as he crept close to the front door.
"I need an arm to lead me in."
I held out my hand and the old man grabbed me.
"Now, boy," he whispered, "take me to the captain."
And he gave my arm such a twist that I cried out. I led him straight into the parlor where the old pirate sat dozing. At the sound of our approach, the captain looked up and stared as if I had led a monster to him.
"Now, Bill," the blind man said, "you just hold your seat. I have something for you."
He lashed out toward the table and caught hold of the pirate's arm. Then he placed something in the captain's hand.
"And now that's done," the blind man said.
He turned then and rushed out of the parlor with amazing speed. Soon I heard his cane tapping off into the distance. Bill stared at the scrap of paper in his palm.
10 o'clock, he shouted. "I'll do them yet."
He sprang to his feet and stood swaying with a hand to his throat. Then he fell down dead. I yelled for my mother and lost no time in telling her all I knew.
"The pirates will be back," I said. "The captain said they are after his sea chest."
"Then we must go to the neighbors for help," my mother said.
We rushed out into the frosty fog. We pounded on door after door, but no one would return with us to the inn. A single word of pirates turned their courage cold and shut doors in our faces. Finally, a neighbor offered to ride to Dr. Livesey. A full moon was beginning to rise by the time we reached the inn again. We slipped inside and I closed and bolted the door.
"We must get the key for the sea chest," my mother said, looking fearfully at the body of the captain.
I knelt and spied the scrap of paper the blind man had left. On one side it was darkened with a round black spot. On the other, clear script said, "You have till 10 tonight."
Just as I read it out loud, our old clock rang out 6 o'clock, making us both jump.
I looked through the captain's pockets, then spotted the key hanging around his neck on a string. We carried it upstairs to his room and soon had the seaman's chest open. A strong smell of tobacco and tar rose from the chest. On top, a suit of fine clothes lay carefully folded. Under this, we found 2 pairs of pistols, some West Indian shells, a bundle wrapped in oilcloth, and a canvas bag that jingled. Mother poured out the bag and found a mixture of gold coins.
"I'll take only what we're owed," she said primly, as she sorted the coins.
They came from so many different countries that it was difficult to guess how many we should keep. I grew nervous at how long she was taking. Suddenly, I heard the tap, tap of the blind man's stick outside. I took hold of Mother's arm and whispered,
"We have to go. Just take the whole bag."
"No," she said, "that's more than he owed."
Finally, she settled for what she'd already counted and we hurried downstairs and out the door. I clutched the oilcloth package to my chest, for I was certain it was wise to take it. The thinning fog offered us good hiding as we hurried away, but I could tell that we would soon be exposed to the bright moonlight. We heard the men nearing the inn, and Mother whispered,
"I'm going to faint."
I managed to half-drag my mother to the shadows under the old stone bridge where she could lay partially hidden. I crept back toward the inn so I could hear the pirates and learn what they wanted.